Cruz. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We want your thoughts on the Shell Penzel Performance Line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun that we're having and you get your take in. It's important that we get your take in it. That's why it's First Take Your Take. So as you hear things, if you have a take, you can call in. You can join us. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. I want to make sure that we get a couple of headlines in for you at the top so that you know that where we are right now with the big news. The Panthers are expected to release Cam Newton. That is one piece of news, possibly not shocking. Remember, Kyle Allen was just traded for a fifth-round draft pick to the Washington Redskins. Well, now we know another quarterback is on the move. As Cam Newton, it looks, according to sources and what they've told Adam Schefter, it looks like Cam Newton, the former NFL MVP, will be released by the Carolina Panthers. Remember, they came to a deal with Teddy Bridgewater on 3 years, $63 million. So I don't think this is a shocking move to many. The other big piece of news right now that's sort of dominating the sports landscape, the Tokyo Olympics officially postponed until 2021. Yesterday, we addressed the fact that there was at least the rumor of postponement being out there. We didn't have anything confirmed. Now we know. Never before had the Olympic Games been postponed or canceled for something other than war. But at this point, for the first time, we are having that. The opening ceremony had been planned for July 24th. We now know instead that the postponement will take us to 2021. So the Olympics will not be happening this year, but they are not gone altogether. Importantly, they will happen next year. We've let you hear some First Take. We're letting you get your take in on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your take on the Olympic postponement. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. But I want to continue to get some expertise on it, because as much as we could talk about what it means and the timing of it, last time I checked, I'm not an Olympian. So we're now going to turn to one that joins us on the Shell Penzel Performance Line. 2016 Olympic gold medalist, shot putter Ryan Krauser is there with us. Ryan, we appreciate your time. What was your reaction to the news that the Olympics had been postponed for a year?
Yeah, Jason, for me, it was the biggest thing was just don't cancel it. It's been kind of a whirlwind of a couple weeks for all the Olympians, especially this last week with some of the federations like Canada and Australia putting pressure on saying that they would pull their athletes, which could end up in being almost the worst case scenario, is that you have an Olympics of a skeleton number of countries and not having all the athletes compete. So happy in the sense that it's still on, although for next year, and I think it'll be a much more even playing field because you have a couple select countries training almost business as usual. You've got people out in California that aren't leaving their house. I've seen people doing lunges in their living room. And then for me, I've been throwing a shot put out in a grass field by myself. So doing what we can, but I think it'll be a lot more level playing field here in 2021.
Ryan, I can only imagine your neighbors when they see the shot put just flying through the air. So talk to me a little bit about how you have been training. I mean, you just said you're in your backyard throwing. What else are you doing to sort of keep ready, and how does the postponement now affect your training?
Yeah, so it's, for me, throwing where I can and just lifting in the garage has been the main thing. It's been a little bit difficult just because for me and all the shot putters in general, we're big, strong power athletes. So it's a little bit unrealistic to try to work up to a mid 500 pound bench or a 700 pound squat in your garage. So kind of doing what I can with a little bit lighter weights, just have mostly a barbell and a rack and doing some Olympic lifting, some lighter squats, and really just trying to maintain the fitness that I felt like I developed building a big training block and foundation to be able to carry me through the Olympic year.
We're talking to 2016 Olympic gold medalist, shot putter Ryan Krauser on the Shell Penzel Performance Line. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. You mentioned some of the other federations had already come out, Canada and Australia. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. How much, if any, conversation has there been between the American Federation and the athletes, particularly when it came to how we stood on this?
Yeah, so it's always a little bit difficult when you look at track and field in a lot of the Olympic sports because they're a little bit more fragmented than, say, the NBA or NFL, where you have a well-oiled machine in terms of the players' union. So we've had kind of USACF, my federation, USA Track and Field, and the U.S. Olympic Committee, I feel like, have done a pretty good job listening to the athletes. We had pretty much a virtual town hall meeting through different almost through Skype. And then, so it's the biggest thing that the athletes I know have pushed for without a doubt is what can we do to have a safe Olympics that is good for the athletes, public health, and if we have to postpone it, that's fine. We just don't want to see it canceled. And I know leading up to this, earlier this week, USA Track and Field and the U.S. Olympic Committee officially asked the IOC to postpone. And so that was good. And it's been a difficult place, I think, for a lot of the NGBs, putting pressure both internally, like Canada. That was a tough call to make for them, I know, saying we won't send our athletes to a scheduled Olympic Games. And so happy to see that it was canceled in the sense – or postponed, sorry – and not canceled in the sense that the athletes will still have a chance to compete next year.
With that being said, Ryan, there's been a lot of debate on whether or not the Olympic Committee should have made this decision faster. What was your reaction to the timing and how long it took to make this decision?
It's really tough to say because you had, I believe it was not quite 2 weeks ago when we saw it was just chaos in terms of everything being canceled a little bit at once. And the Olympics being such a big sporting event, I can see where they're coming from when you're talking billions of dollars that Tokyo had invested and just kind of wanting to wait and see. But I feel like that we're still months in advance. So I don't have anything against them. I feel like they did their best to make a rational decision and not be too hasty to cancel, but also not waiting till the last minute. And for being in charge of a movement like the Olympics, I can only imagine the amount of stress and time that went in to make this decision. So I think they made the right one. Some people argue a little bit late, but at the end of the day, we got what made sense for all of society in this fight against coronavirus.
Ryan, I really appreciate your time, your expertise, your insight on all of this. I really appreciate it from an Olympian standpoint. Ryan Krauser, 2016 Olympic gold medalist, shot putter. Ryan, thanks for the time. We appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's interesting to me to get the insight directly from the people that are affected by this. And the most important thing that Ryan just said to me is that it wasn't canceled. That's one thing that we have to keep our minds around, is that we've been debating whether or not they'd be canceled, whether or not they'd be postponed, what the bylaws said about postponement, all of these moving parts that right now in the moment of the news of postponement, we sort of forget have been moving parts of the conversation. The most important part of this for athletes, frankly, to me, is that it wasn't canceled, it was postponed, because my heart breaks for anybody that has trained their entire life for this opportunity. And now all of a sudden there's the chance that it could go away. I want to get some of your take on this. Mo LaFlamme, I think I'm saying that right, from Maine. Mo, what's your take on the Olympics?
Boy, I'm not sure how much time you want to take, but I have some really interesting perspectives on this stuff. I was a pretty good shot putter in high school. I declined my athletic scholarship to UMaine to play trombone, like the violin. Mm-hmm. But I was in the 84 Olympics, and the logistics to host that thing was just beyond believable. There were only 800 of us kids in the band, college kids, you know, and the 10,000 dancers and the hotels and the security, and oh my God, it was crazy. And you got to remember, so the Russians and us were kind of not in good terms at that point, you know. So Jimmy Carter pulled this out of the Olympics back in 1980, and the blowback was Russia pulled out of 84. So I spent my whole summer in Los Angeles, California, and I was just a kid from Old Town, Maine, but I just could not believe what goes into this thing. Oh, my God.
Mo, I appreciate the time, man. I appreciate your take on it. We don't have enough time to get full story time with Mo. We'll find the time later on to get story time with Mo. But I appreciate the insight. And I, you know, part of what you're going there to is we have to remember that the Olympics aren't just about the participants we see every day. It's about every other piece of it. And that's something that Ryan Krauser, that just joined us, 2016 Olympian, reminded us. I mean, you think about the billions of dollars that are invested by Tokyo, but all the people. I had the opportunity to be in Rio during the Olympics because the band at the time, we were playing the Today Show in Rio. So we went to the Olympics. And when you actually go through the whole process of it, you realize how massive it is and how many people are affected by it, how much of a production it is. That's all part of the reason why I think postponement versus cancellation was a much more difficult conversation than we want to think it is. Yes, it's easy to say health first. Absolutely. We all agree on that principle. Now what? So what? Now what? Okay, we agree on health first. Now what do we do? That's the issue that I think has been really difficult for them to figure out with the Olympics. Triple say ESPN 888-729-3776. You can keep giving your take on the Olympics and the postponement of it. In the meantime, we got some interesting first take yesterday from Terry Bradshaw, who did not mince words about Tom Brady and his feeling that Tom Brady should not have gone somewhere else to play, and the fact that he doesn't believe that Tom Brady can have success without Bill Belichick. That created a debate today between Stephen A. and Max, not just on Brady, but on whether whether Terry Bradshaw was right or wrong about saying what he did. Check it out.
And I'm not saying he's wrong, but, you know, the tenor that comes associated with it is what I would challenge. Of course, ego is involved. So what, Terry Bradshaw? I mean, you're a four-time Super Bowl champion. You got it, the Pittsburgh Steelers to that. The days of Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer, Lynn Swan, John Stallworth. This is why I fell in love with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Immaculate Reception and beyond. We know how great Terry Bradshaw was as a champion. He's a four-time Super Bowl champion. He's been doing fabulous work on Fox for many years. He retired in 1983, more than 35 years ago. He's old school, and I get where he's coming from. My problem with it is that what's the attitude for? You know, why does he seem to be chiding Tom Brady? Oh my Lord. Like he said, Tom Brady, I don't know if Tom Brady can win without Bill Belichick. I know Bill Belichick can win without Tom Brady. Well, guess what? What's wrong with Tom Brady wanting to find out? I will remind somebody of a particular story, and I'm sure that you'll recall this, Max, and Molly, maybe you will as well. Years ago, Kobe Bryant was playing for the Los Angeles Lakers, God rest his soul. And Kobe Bryant decided that he didn't want to be with Shaq anymore. He came on my show, quite frankly, back in 2006, if I remember correctly. And he talked about it. And he said, I wanted to do my own thing. I didn't want to be seen as his little brother. I didn't want to be seen as anybody's little brother or anybody's sidekick. In order to challenge myself and test my level of greatness, I wanted to put myself in a position where I was that dude. This is what he said on and off the air. And lo and behold, he ended up going to three straight NBA finals after Mitch Kupchak and the Lakers pulled off that heist that got Pau Gasol for Kwame Brown. And as a result, they go to three straight NBA finals and they win back-to-back titles. And Kobe ends up with five titles to Shaq's four. What I'm saying is that even though people chided him for it, he was unapologetic for the fact that even though he had the most dominant force of the modern era in Shaquille O'Neal, he didn't want to be somebody's sidekick. So now we transfer to here. What's wrong with Tom Brady, a six-time champion who's won a 9 Super Bowls with Bill Belichick, sitting there saying, excuse me, I'm not done. I think I got something left. And since you don't believe in me, I want to go elsewhere. It's not like Bill Belichick begged him to stay in New England and he said, nah, I don't want to be with you. No, Bill Belichick said, look, bye. I'm ready to do this without you any damn way. Yeah, he said, okay.
Sure.
What's the problem?
Right. Well, no, Terry Bradshaw, I don't think he's saying a problem. I think he's saying he doesn't think Brady's going to have success without Belichick, like he's expecting. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect analogy. Usually with Brady, the guy I compare him to is Joe Montana. Bill Walsh was the greatest coach of the era. He revolutionized it. Joe Montana was his quarterback. Joe Montana, like Brady, was considered like kind of a system guy. Was he really the product of all? Then went to the Kansas City Chiefs at the end. Went to the playoffs 2 years in a row. Went to the AFC Championship game the first time. He was there in Kansas City. Whoa, Montana's just great. That's the reason he won 4 Super Bowls. Threw 13 touchdowns against only 0 interceptions in those 4 Super Bowls. Still, there's an argument Montana's the greatest of all time. But so I usually use that comparison, right? Like, let's see how they do apart, Belichick and Brady. Actually, not a perfect analogy, but Terry Bradshaw and Chuck Knoll, like, it's not perfect, but Terry Bradshaw, handpicked by Chuck Knoll, along with Franco Harris and Lynn Swan, he put that team together. Steelers weren't good before that was done. Who was Terry Bradshaw? He was a very strong-armed quarterback who didn't put up gaudy numbers. I mean, Brady was a strong-armed quarterback who put up nice but not gaudy numbers at first, over the first half of his career. I'm not saying Bradshaw's on Brady's level. But along with Chuck Noll, Terry Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls. Stephen A., you're a Steelers fan. Still, I was a Steelers fan as a kid because if your team stunk in your local market, and the Giants did back then, you rooted for the Steelers because of how great they were, how dominant they were. Of everyone out there who has the standing and the experience actually to comment on this, the two that come to mind for me more than anyone are Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw. And now we've heard Bradshaw's comments. Having gone through it, knowing how important the coach is in terms of that grind and the standard of excellence and the way the two things mesh, the coach and the quarterback, I think he's suspicious of Brady's ultimate success away from Belichick.
There's nothing wrong with being suspicious of Brady's ultimate success. There is something wrong with doubting him where you're so quick to elevate Belichick as if Belichick had everything to do with the success of the New England Patriots and Tom Brady didn't facilitate it in to the degree that people are willing to give him credit for. And I think that's really where Tom Brady has got himself up in the tizzy, privately at least, to some degree. He's thinking about what he's done for Coach Bill Belichick. He knows what Bill Belichick has done for him, but he's also thinking about what he's done as well. And everybody's acting like you could just punch in somebody, Stidham or so, whoever it is, and they're going to do what Tom Brady has done. That is insulting and disrespectful. And as it pertains to you, Max, in terms of being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I want the world to know I've been doing this show with you for more than 3.5 years. I have never, ever heard you say that you were a Pittsburgh Steelers fan at any point in time in your life. I mean, damn.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And sometimes you call an audible. You call an audible because somebody calls into the Shell Penzo performance line that's just too good not to get in right now. So Lori Flockmeyer, now Lori Cabrelli from Texas, joins us on the Shell Penzo performance line. Former Texas A&M volleyball coach, importantly, in 1980 and 84, an Olympian for the volleyball team. So Lori, thanks for calling into the show. We didn't expect this, but if I've got a former Olympian, I want your thoughts on the Olympics and the postponement.
Well, thank you, Jason. I'm just listening to your show, and I thought this is a perfect time for me to call in because it's just brought back a flood of emotions from the boycott, especially from 1980. We were a team that had not been able to compete in, like, 76 in Montreal. We did not qualify. So USA Volleyball decided they wanted to put some money into the women's team and see if we could get a team ready for 1980. And sure enough, we did that in 78. We joined our junior team and our national team. And I got invited to join them in Colorado Springs. We were the first team to live at the training center that's still currently there in the Olympic Training Center. And we lived full-time, trained 8 hours a day, gave up jobs, family, school, everything to try and qualify for the Olympics. And we, after a year and a half, we qualified at the Norseca Games. So that was what our job was. We needed to qualify. We lost to Cuba because they were the world champions. We were trying to get top two or three in the world. We came out of nowhere. And sure enough, we qualified. So the only thing that kept us away was the beginning of 1980 when we got word that President Carter might not send a team. He didn't say, I'm not yet. I'm just not sure. We're not happy with the Russians. So we went ahead and trained every single day, hoping and praying that we were going to get to go and represent the USA. And sure enough, about in April, we got final word. We were on a tour in America with the East Germans, and we landed in San Antonio, where my family was all waiting at the airport. President Carter came on at noon to tell the country what his final decision was, and we were in the air. We were on our way from another match from the night before. And when we landed and walked into the terminal, we saw my family and our fans that were in tears. And we knew at that moment we weren't going to get to go. And it wasn't postponed. We canceled. We didn't get to do it. And so the heartbreak and it's already making me a little emotional just to talk about it now, and it's been 40 years. But just for the sacrifices that we made and all the athletes, you know, some of them decided, I'm not training anymore. He's going to not let us go when they found out in January that it was a maybe. They stopped training. But our coach said, oh, no, if we get to go, we're going to be ready. We're already top three in the world. We're going to go win a gold medal. So we just followed our leader and said, okay, we're going to train. We made $60 every 2 months. We were all mid-20s. And when we were done, when it got pulled out from under us, most of us were 23 and had no money. We had dropped school. We had dropped jobs. And so, wow, this has really brought back a lot of that. And I'm so happy these athletes get to play in the Olympics next year. It may not be exactly when they wanted to do it, but the things that we've heard, we were at the Olympic Training Center for a big giant Olympic reunion in November. It is going to be an amazing Olympic Games. It's just phenomenal how far it's come. And now they get to do that. It will just be a little bit later. But Maria, I'm glad they didn't say, no, we're not doing it, you know?
I cannot thank you enough for your insight on this. This is incredible. Thank you for calling the show. Thank you for your take on it.
I hope
that you'll keep calling us when these things come, because that level of perspective, I can't thank you enough. I mean, I think to the point, and what Lori just mentioned there, you know, we're so busy talking about the timing of this that we're losing one of the most important things. And I realize it's easy, and this is what we do as a society. We sort of trash the way everything's gone down by everybody in every instance. What Lori just told us is the heartbreaking real story from somebody that was directly affected by the cancellation of the opportunity to participate in the Olympic Games. And it's a reminder that as much as we want to come in today and say, why didn't they do this faster? There is some level, a tip of the hat to everybody involved in this process, because what they figured out how to do is postpone the Olympics, not cancel them. And the one thing that we have to remember is that when we come through all of this and there's some level of normalcy again, we will be able to come together. Might not be this year, might be next year, but we're going to be able to come together and watch Olympians that trained their whole lives and sacrificed everything. And those Olympians from all around the world will still get the opportunity to compete. So while everybody else today is going to have something negative to say about the Olympic Committee not getting this done faster, I, for one, am going to tip my hat and say, thank God there isn't a world full of people that are going to have to live through what Lori lived through for training so hard and doing so much and then not getting the opportunity. Thank you so much for that take on it. We're going to continue to let you guys get your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Got goosebumps from that. Absolutely incredible. I can't thank her enough for calling in. Coming up, Lolo Jones joined First Take, had strong comments about the Olympic Committee's decision makings. You'll get to hear that next on First Take, Your Take. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. It was reported earlier this morning that the 76ers were looking at a plan to reduce payroll for salaried employees. It's now been broken by Adrian Wojnarowski that Sixers ownership has made a statement after listening to our staff and players. It's clear that was the wrong decision. We've reversed it and we'll be paying these employees their full salary. So as of this morning, it looked like everybody making over a certain dollar amount was going to take a 20% pay cut. Now it looks like they've immediately reversed course on that, showing us yet again a reminder that every single step of the way we're getting new information on how everybody should be handling this. In the meantime, let's get some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Lolo Jones joined First Take today to give her Straight Talk on all things Olympics, as the Olympics have been announced that they are being postponed into next year. This is what Lolo had to say.
I just think that there was just a lack of leadership, no clarity at all. So when this happened, you saw at first the NBA shut down. They shut their athletes down and didn't want to risk their health and the health of the global community. Well, Olympians were left in limbo for a very long time. And it became impossible. You know, they started shutting down public places, so we had nowhere to train. Yet we were still trying to find places to train. And we just had no direction. Like, okay, is this happening? Is it not happening? What are you guys talking about? What are your concerns? We were getting no information. So we were trying our best to continue to train in an environment that just became impossible.
Lolo, I heard you make mention of it, but you're into your 30s, well into your 30s now as an Olympic athlete. Your clock is ticking, and this postponement of a year probably doesn't do you any favors, and yet you've been advocating for this. Can you just tell us what it's like to be facing that reality and also have this come along at the same time?
Absolutely. I have a lot on the line. Not only was this my last push for a Summer Olympics, I honestly don't know if my body has another year. Another thing you think about, I mean, I was going to maybe go back into bobsled because I know my body can handle that over, like, hurdles. But here's the situation. it was becoming dangerous and unsafe. Like, to go outside and continue to train in groups, there's no Olympian that trains by themselves. You have wrestlers that need sparring partners. You have gymnasts that need spotters. Even runners need to go out of blocks next to each other to be in Olympic ready shape. And it just wasn't worth it. Why? Because we're dealing with a national, a global pandemic. And for me to push for this, even though it goes directly against my chances, you know, to have success next year, there's just bigger things to think about. Other things were happening is they stopped drug testing. How can you have a fair Olympic Games if you're not even drug testing the athletes the crucial months before the Olympic Games? There were so many reasons this Olympic Games needed to be postponed weeks ago, but they kept putting the athletes on ice. They kept putting a pressure cooker for us, where it was not only affecting our physical health. You know, athletes started to get the coronavirus. You saw an Olympic champion, Olympic swimmer, caught the virus because, I don't know. Like, it was just a pressure cooker environment, and I'm so glad it's official. Athletes can finally focus on their health.
That's the Straight Talk, Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Let's hop over to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line and keep getting some expertise on the postponement of the Olympics. We're going to be joined now by Outside the Lines' Jeremy Schapp. Jeremy, I appreciate your time. There's a lot of conversation about what the Olympics committee should have done and how quickly this should have been made. What's your reaction to the timing of the decision?
Well, obviously, you know, Jason, it was going to happen. When they said the other day that it was going to take 4 weeks to make a decision, that seemed crazy, right? I mean, the world has changed so much in the last couple of weeks here in the United States, in other parts of the world, even before that. The fact that it was going to take so long seemed crazy, but it was also typical of the way the IOC has historically worked. This is an organization, like many such organizations, you know, that can get myopic, tunnel focused. You know, it exists to stage these two events every couple of years, the Winter Games and then the Summer Games. And so the idea of canceling, which has only happened during the two world wars, postponing, which has never happened, is anathema to them. And so they had to be pushed. And they got pushed. They got pushed by the National Olympic Committees in Australia, Canada, and the United States. They got pushed by athletes who you know, just were not going to stand for this anymore, who felt they were being put in harm's way, you know, with this uncertainty about whether the games were going to take place or not. So it happened, and in typical IOC fashion, they took their time to make the decision.
What's interesting to me, we're talking to Jeremy Schapp from Outside the Lens on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We want this done quickly, Jeremy, but you just said it's never been postponed before. So I guess my counter to all of this is, does it really matter how long it took them, knowing how many details had to be worked out, as long as they get it right? Why are we making such a big deal about the timing?
Well, you know, I think it's because we've seen so many other events basically already say we can't do this now. The environment is just too dangerous to do this now. You know, whether it's the Euros or our domestic sports leagues here in the United States, soccer leagues all over the world, basically so much is shut down, although there are still a few things going on. So, you know, from the perspective of the athletes, you know, who are supposed to be in many places right now practicing safe social distancing from each other, training seems impossible. So they were in this difficult position. So it's about the athletes, it's about the uncertainty, people going to work, wherever they might be, who have some role in the Olympic Games. And it, you know, it also comes down to, though, I think, frankly, you know, people are conditioned for a long period of time to be suspicious of the motives of the IOC and to be suspicious of the way it works, the way that, you know, many sports organizations, global sports organizations, especially FIFA is another prime example, where the history just tells you, like, what are the priorities here? And so, you know, there are people who are always going to wonder, you know, are they just focusing on the money? And the money is billions and billions and billions of dollars. And, you know, their relationships with their sponsors and their rights holders and all that stuff matter to the Olympic movement, as they call it. But, you know, so you can understand why many people would wonder, what are the priorities here? Are they prioritizing safety? Are they prioritizing corporate financial relationships? And, you know, certainly those are things they were considering as they were making these decisions, because in a purely public health, as purely a public health equation, you know, the answer was obvious, you know, a couple of weeks ago, at least.
Jeremy, have we gotten any indication of what's going to happen to the qualifying? I mean, it's a simple question with a complicated answer. There are athletes that have already qualified for the Olympics. So does that just carry forward, or do they have to requalify next year?
I think it's going to be up to each individual national Olympic committee and each individual, perhaps, national organizing body for the sports themselves in those countries. You know, the United States has trials later in the game than a lot of other countries, you know, determining our teams, some of them right up almost virtually to the opening ceremony or a couple of months beforehand. You know, there are, I think it's 205 IOC member states. I think it's 206. I think it's 205. They do things. They're allowed to do things. Each of them select teams the way they see fit. So, yeah, there are going to be all kinds of, you know, situations in which people, I'm sure, have to re-qualify, and there are going to be others in which they don't, and there are going to be others in which, you know, there hasn't been any qualification yet anyway. But it's going to be, you know, a big it's going to be a big mess and a logistical challenge and all of those things which are complicating and, of course, played into the calculations in the decision-making at the IOC, but ultimately matter much less than the potential health safety ramifications of having an event like this just 4 months from now.
Outside the Lines, Jeremy Schapp, as always, I appreciate your expertise. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Jason.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. You hear me talk about benefit of the doubt a lot, and I realize that the Olympic Committee has lost much of that benefit of the doubt because of the way they've handled things in the past. I just think that we have to also acknowledge that there are a lot of variables here. It's not as simple as, well, let's postpone them. The question I just asked Jeremy is a good one. I mean, at this point, according to one article, 57% of the Olympians had already qualified coming into this before the pandemic started. So 57% of the pieces of the slots were taken. What happens to those 57%? Do they just move forward? Do they have to re-qualify? These are all questions that the Olympic Committee needs to have some sort of answer to. And just saying they're going to postpone doesn't change the fact that then they have follow-up questions they'll have to answer. Those follow-up questions are brutal. We'll keep taking your thoughts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, does Deshaun Watson want out of Texas? Well, First Take thinks so. You'll hear why next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the second hour of the show today, go check it out. If you missed both hours, go check it out. We've had Olympians galore, getting actual reaction from former Olympians and current Olympians on what all of it means. Heck, even Olympians chiming in on the phone lines. You can go check it all out. First Take, Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A. member FDIC. All right. Deshaun Watson might be mad. He might not be. He might just be quoting lyrics from Drake. We don't know what Deshaun Watson's doing. What we do know is that he's putting Drake lyrics up on Twitter, and that is making the collective minds of sports people blow up. First Take talked about the lyric quote and what it all means when Max and Stephen A. broke down the mindset of Deshaun Watson.
If you tweet something like that, when they take away not only your best receiver, I think it's amazing that Hopkins winds up on the same team as Fitzgerald. Right? Because you had Chris Carter, you had Larry Fitzgerald, now you have DeAndre Hopkins, the guys with the superhuman hands. DeAndre Hopkins is always open and he never drops the ball because of his, like, he has just been an amazing player. And Deshaun Watson had him as his primary target and they traded him for peanuts, not just for peanuts, but for a bad contract and didn't even get proper compensation for it. But Deshaun Watson is not stupid. He can see that his coach is a bad GM. He is not happy, and those lyrics sound like a warning shot fired from Deshaun Watson. Like, not just keep this up and I might want out of here, but fix this or I'm going to want out of here.
First, take your take on ESPN News. That's a cute concept, but when have we ever seen a quarterback actually come out and do that in a way like Deshaun Watson? When have we ever seen that sort of opportunity happen? Look, the fact is Deshaun Watson's still under contract. He's going to continue to be under contract, and the big conversation here needs to be that the Texans have wasted the rookie deal of Deshaun Watson. When he's not costing them essentially any money, they haven't maximized on it. Now, he can be dissatisfied all he wants. That doesn't change the fact that last time I checked, even in the new collective bargaining agreement, they didn't change players' rights. So Deshaun Watson can be unhappy all day. Doesn't mean he can go anywhere, even if he wants to. We'll keep breaking all of that down, obviously, but I want you guys to get a little thought from an expert on some big news today. And the reports have come out that the NHL at this point is going to be asking front office employees to take a 25% pay cut in light of the virus, the epidemic, and sort of figuring out how to cope with it. I want you to hear from Emily Kaplan of ESPN On Ice podcast. She's one of our best on the NHL. She breaks down what this means. Check out Emily.
The NHL is temporarily cutting the pay of league office employees by 25% due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The league confirmed that salaries will be reduced across the board starting on April 1st. The NHL season has been on pause since March 12th, and according to sources, the NHL is hoping that the temporary pay cuts among league office employees will prevent layoffs during this uncertain time. There were 3.5 weeks and 189 games remaining in the regular season when the play was suspended. The NHL has been modeling several different options on how to complete the season, if at all possible.
I think it's an important story to listen to no matter what your favorite sport is, because this might give you some mindset into how other leagues are going to be handling it. Hear the whole thing, download, listen to the entire episode of ESPN On Ice with Greg Wyshynski and Emily Kaplan. Go get that wherever you get your podcast. Real quick, we want to give our thoughts, obviously. I want to say this again with the Olympics, and this is what I have to stress to everybody. As you look at the Olympics right now, it's easy to hate on everything. That's what we do. We come in and say, why wasn't this done faster? Through all of it, let's remember the important part of this. The Olympics, somehow, some way, are finding a way to postpone, not cancel. In an era where we're quick to criticize everything, and I understand the timing may not have been ideal to everybody, I think there's a moment here to tip our hats to the Olympics and at least say thank you for finding a way to work with everybody to postpone this so that people that have worked their entire lives for the opportunity to be Olympians don't have that ripped away from them. I'm glad to see that there'll be Olympics in 2021. Will King coming up next. He'll keep breaking down Brady in the Patriot way. Thanks for hanging out.